Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tech Chicklets, where we talk about how technology intersects with your life to make it richer, easier, and more fun. This podcast is supported by Box.net. Box facilitates the way we work today, from collaborating with distant teams and external partners to accessing files from anywhere, anytime. Box.net, simple, powerful collaboration. You're joined by me, Liz, from ThreeBrightStars.com, and Kim, EcoMom, from DiaperTheirFaces.com. We do this podcast weekly, life events permitting, and you can listen to it from our homepage at TechChicklets.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and vote for us on Podcast Alley. If you love this podcast, please tell your friends. Word of mouth advertising is what keeps us going. We have been enjoying the weather today, outside in our bikinis all afternoon. The kids have been with the husbands. We've been frolicking together through the sprinkler, and you've had your Mike's Hard Lemonade, and I'm sitting here with my, a Long Island iced tea, and we're just enjoying the summer. So I just wanted to give our listeners the visual.
Except that I had pants on over the bikini, and a great big cozy hoodie that's fur lined. So even though it's true, we now have some nice weather, it's still Canada, folks.
Because it has been really hot, and we could potentially be in bikinis.
We could. Right?
But I am, in fact, wearing an animal print dress.
Yes, and looking very slinky and sexy.
Thank you. That's right. I think that maybe every podcast, especially since we won't necessarily always be together in the same room, we should maybe just paint a picture.
That's a great idea.
Just a different image.
Yes, and so that people know we're not coming to them from a wired igloo.
Right, yes. And so I thought maybe instead of just like in my messy basement, we could be like outside on the porch sipping our beverages in bikinis. And maybe some other time we could be drinking, you know, whiskeys and stuff.
Right.
What do you think?
That sounds brilliant. I especially like the drinking whiskey part.
Yeah, just some different kind of imagery.
We could actually do that, though.
Oh, yes,
it doesn't just have to be all about imagery. We could get nice and drunk.
Yeah, we should coordinate our drinks, especially like you were saying earlier before I started recording. We should coordinate our beverages when you're in Turkey.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I think that's a good way for us to, you know, feel each other, even though we're not in the same room. We're still sort of having the same enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's happening on our podcast today, Liz?
The first thing that I wanted to let everyone know is that we do have a sponsor. I'm sure you noticed. Box.net is now supporting us. They're supporting us in the sense that podcast files are rather large, and so we needed to find somewhere to host them that wasn't, we just don't have enough room on our own private hosting. Anyway, I talked to them and they said, oh, sure, we'll support your podcast. So
hooray.
We've got Box.net on board.
We're going to put them on the front of our jerseys, our team Tech Chicklet jerseys that we wear over top of our bikinis.
Yes.
Or actually on each cup of our bikini.
Box and net.
Net.
And with a dot in the middle or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this podcast, I don't have any Tech Hen, but Tech Hen will be back. Tech Hen was just a little hungover.
I love Tech Hen.
Yeah, so.
She's a drunk tart, but I love her. So Liz, last time we were talking about the Kindle, a product that excited us both enormously.
Yes.
It's a ebook that delivers text wirelessly. So really a great thing, you know. We were very, very excited about it. I think the people who have access to it are very excited about it. But those people are not in Canada.
That's right. Well, there are people in Canada who are very interested. And we have some evidence of that on the techchicklets.com. Because we have the petition there. And you can sign the petition. When you sign it, you can leave a comment. And if you go on the site, you can see the last 10 signatures. And some of them are anonymous, which is fine because you can sign your name. If you click anonymous, it'll just come up all X's. Mm-hmm. And people can leave a comment and you'll see that there are a lot of Canadians who are signing.
Their Kindle. This petition that Liz is talking about is a petition that we started, which will deliver to the appropriate authorities, the providers of wireless here in Canada, as well as the government, who make final decisions about what can enter the country.
And also Amazon.
And Amazon as
Just in case they wanted to know.
Yeah. letting them know that, you know, we really want the Kindle.
Yeah.
not just because we love funky new gadgets, which of course we do, but because it seems to be a really great literacy tool and a brilliant way to be able to read in a new sort of way.
Mm-hmm. It does seem to be just such a basic utility to me. I mean, it's a new thing. It's an exciting thing. It's a new technology, which is exciting and fun and cool and everything. But it's about a new way of delivering literature of all kinds. It's newspapers, it's blogs, it's
university textbooks. It's hugely useful, light as a feather, and sounds to me like a brilliant idea.
And with all of these things, it's always more than what it first appears.
That's right.
And so that's...
So we don't even know what that might be yet.
Mm-hmm, what all the different impacts could be.
Yep.
So we want it. We want it now. The reason why I think we're pushing on this one is because it's about literacy. But another thing is just that the concept of Canada lagging behind in technology is also not a good thing.
No, it's distressing. Canada is often a little too late to get into too many things. And I think that our leaders need to be more ready to jump.
Mm-hmm. And technology isn't always about fun things. It isn't always about just fun and games. And I think that that's sometimes what it's considered. It's considered to be sort of frivolous, but it's obviously not.
No, the Kindle has the power to impact literacy in a meaningful way. For a variety of demographics.
And so do a lot of other different kinds of technologies that are not, you know, moving into the Canadian market fast enough. And
right.
Okay, we're not as big a population, but we are the West. I mean, why should technology stop just
Indeed.
Because it's Canada?
And it's not a lack of desire from the distributors. It's mm-hmm. a lack of willingness to make it happen by Canadian bodies.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of
government
reasons.
And the tech providers in Canada, mm-hmm. they're not always on board together, and they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it needs to change.
It's almost like a whole cultural movement of, you know, that's not just sort of behind.
It's like a culture of hesitation.
Yeah,
let's just wait and see.
Yeah, and the Tech Chicklets are all about being excited about tech. That's for
right.
all the right reasons.
Yes,
including for fun, but also for positive change in society.
Exactly. Well, fun has to be a part of positive change.
Yeah, that's right.
Fun has to be a part of a lot of things to make them really work.
Yeah. Shall we talk about Twitter?
Let's talk about Twitter, because we sure don't do that very often.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. It has to be our lead story every single time. But Twitter's huge. It's even bigger. It's gone up from something like 19 million in March to 32 million in April. I'm kind of pulling this out of my
jump.
Head, but should we tell our listeners that we tried to do this whole podcast earlier and failed?
Yeah, a few days ago, Liz and I had a tech fail. It was
my fault.
It was not really a fault. It was an enthusiastic effort on Liz's part. But we had a little bit of feedback trouble. We were trying to do our first recording via Skype, and it didn't quite work out.
We'll try it again. We will have to paint a really clear picture that we are, you know, somewhere together, like on a beach mm-hmm. somewhere, because the reality will be that I'm covered in wires and that I'm tangled in the mic and can hardly move anything but my fingers to like click on things to make things work in the podcast. So,
and I'll be locked in a room holding back children, hoping that Turkish authorities don't suddenly block the channel that I'm using.
You'll be holding them back with a broom. People like kids. We can't say like people would like our kids.
Yeah, they're
awesome
likable
kids.
But
this is a tech podcast. People are not tuning in to hear, you know, our kids.
No. This is a place where you will not hear about child poo.
Except for in this
Except
particular
right now.
Moment.
And I will not mention poo again.
Okay.
Poo.
So. Boston Police Department says, "We will let you know when the zombies come." So the story is, officer from District 4 transported to Beth Israel Hospital, human bite to arm, suspect in custody. And then somebody, of course, many people would have read that, and somebody responded, if that was a zombie bite, would you tell us? And then the Boston Police Department replied to that, yes, absolutely.
And Liz and I breathed a collective sigh of relief.
Yes.
Because, I mean, zombies are scary things.
Yes, they are scary. And I really scary.
The fact that they're fake doesn't matter at all.
No. Let's not even go down that path.
B-movies?
No. Because they are brain dead. And they do not sort of remember their past lives. And they wander around. They will never stop. And they will just, you know, they just are motivated by hunger for human flesh.
They're kind of like the rabbit and the hare. No, the rabbit and the hare are the same one. Yeah, the hare and the tortoise.
Well, we're running around really, really fast.
Yeah, trying to get away from them. They're just zombies. Slow and steady, right. Winning
the
race.
In case our listeners have never heard of a zombie or seen a zombie movie.
Right.
Yeah, we're just filling you in. However, if there was a zombie attack happening, do you think we could use Twitter to distinguish, you know, where the zombies had spread to? And do you think maybe we could use, you know how there's like locational technology now on the internet? We're going to talk about that. There's Locavore, and there's Yahoo Placemaker. Do you think maybe Google could like map where the zombies are? And maybe with the tweets we could figure out by the tweets that are primarily comprised of like just moaning. Maybe we could discover like which of the Twitterers are actually already zombies.
Uh-huh.
And that way we could tell from the tweets whether...
And protect ourselves.
And protect ourselves, yeah, that way.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Do you see the many and incredibly brilliant uses of Twitter?
Yeah, it's going to be handy. It's handy to just get like news stories from the Boston Police Department, for example. It's handy for having fun and making jokes with your friends.
Yep.
And it's handy for just detecting whether or not a zombie is going to be within your town. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and those zombies scare me.
Yeah, because I need to know, I need to have a lead time to bring my machetes upstairs.
Right. Well, I have a friend who's already got that taken care of. Her machetes are taped behind her headboard.
Mm-hmm. We're calling readying her Zombie Sally zombie attack. Because you're not going to reveal
Zombie
her
Sally.
Name.
I'm not going to let anyone know who she is. She knows who she is, and she's the one I'll be turning to when Twitter lets me know that those zombies are on the way.
But you'll
when
know.
The Boston Police Department tweets like, officer down, human bite to hand, suspect in custody, and then suddenly the tweets start going, then I will know. They can't even tell us that it was a zombie attack because the zombies got them too. And that's when I'll be calling Zombie Sally and letting her know the situation and getting her to give me some really, really fast details on how I should handle it.
Yeah, I am relieved that the Twitter's
and
there
she's,
for us.
And she's on Twitter, so she'll help me.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. In other news about Twitter,
saner news.
We know about trending topics on Twitter, that there are certain topics that, like certain keywords, or as they call hashtags. We should explain for the non-techie person what a hashtag is. It's just a tag, like a simple word or some kind of any kind of. I can't really say other than it's a tag.
Yeah, a tag that you would, links it to a larger
topic.
Yeah, that's
like a theme
being discussed across Twitter.
And the way that that would be useful is that if your tweet about that thing didn't contain that word, then you would add the number sign followed by the tag.
That's right.
And so that way your tweet would be linked in searches to that topic. So
the tag could be zombies, and you can do a Twitter search and you can find out all the talk about zombies going on Twitter.
So if you were saying like oh my god, they're coming, and then you would
you haven't
like,
used the word zombie, so it's not going to show up in search.
So you would want to put a hashtag on there, number
that's
sign
right.
zombies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we aren't sure if you're talking about an orgy, for example.
That's right. Which, I mean, really, we'd like to know about that, too.
Okay, so
wouldn't we?
Right now, yes, we want to know about the orgy and we want to know about the zombies.
Yeah.
And tech is good for both of those things.
Absolutely.
Twitter. Okay. Trending topics. Right now, I've just been looking at Twitter. I'm sure you have as well, because we're constantly glued to the Twitter. hashtags right now are very much like little memes. It's lies boys tell, lies girls tell, three words after sex. Have you participated in this three words after sex?
I haven't. It's been so long. I don't know what words one says after.
Well, I said, what did I say? I said, oh, how lovely.
Oh, how lovely.
I found that people's three words after sex are like so hostile. People are trying to be really witty. And well, let's just click on it. And I'm not going to say anything that's really mean. But people are just so, oh my goodness, I'm looking at it right now and I can't even repeat it on this podcast because like a family rated podcast.
I think that we're a little more than G though.
Well, here's one. Please untie me.
Oh my.
I mean, come on. I mean, there's worse than that. What's your name?
Yeah.
We're not amused.
That's cruel.
No, but oh, how lovely was okay.
Oh, how lovely is quite nice.
Yeah. That was pleasant.
It's civilized. That was pleasant. That's nice. But I'm honestly, I look for more than pleasant, really.
But pleasant, I mean, you know, pleasant is good. I mean, it could be understatement, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I suppose, as you say, people are just trying to be witty. But I do like to, although I haven't followed this one, I do like to follow some of these things.
I just click on it because it's so easy. You can just click on it within your Twitter. Have you noticed that your hashtags now are within the Twitter homepage?
Right. I don't tweet through the Twitter homepage. So
I don't usually either, but...
I don't know. I tweet through Twitter Fox, which is a useful Firefox add-on.
I think they're trying to make the Twitter homepage more useful.
Are they? Yeah. I abandoned the Twitter homepage because it was not so useful.
I think, well, here you can have a look and see that they're listed in the side there. And
I see.
The search is right there as well, because before you had to go all the way to the bottom and find the word search and click on it. And then it was hard to get back into Twitter. So they've made that easier, which is really good.
That's a good way to retain those 32 million users that Twitter has.
Some more memes. They're all memes. People seem to be right now, and it's not always this way. Sometimes it's a lot politics, or sometimes it's a lot about TV shows or social media trends that are going on.
Yeah, but at the moment, it's true that it's a lot of memes.
There's a lot of memeing going on. And the three words after sex, I was kind of like, I thought that was neat. Three breakup words. I don't know. It's like people being mean.
Nasty people.
Yeah. Smart there's bigger things three words after life. Sex can be funny and like lighthearted and fun.
Yeah.
And
it can even be dirty and funny and lighthearted and fun and naughty and all that stuff. And but it doesn't have to be unkind.
No.
Indeed. There's too much unkindness already.
Yeah. So
let's before the zombie gets you.
A little lesson from the tech checklist. Let's be kind with our tech.
Indeed.
Okay. Can we quickly talk about Terminator Salvation?
Sure.
Because we haven't seen it and you're afraid of it.
It's a little embarrassing to admit, but I have a suspense phobia.
Yeah. And so I am planning to drag you to the movie.
And I will go. And then when I find myself awake at 3 a.m. with anxiety-related insomnia, I'll call you.
I'll give you an Ambien. You'll be fine. I really want to talk about it. This didn't work in our first recording, but because I don't know why I couldn't. You were just like, I'm afraid of the whole story.
I'm not going to talk about the fear. I'm going to talk about the story instead.
This is what's really, really curious to me is robots. Like, why are they evil? Why are robots evil in our cultural
imagination?
In our cultural imagination, why are robots evil? And the reason I'm asking is because, like, my Roomba is so nice to me.
Yeah,
it cleans up
after your stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, on the Jetsons, which is a great cartoon that features the robot maid, right? She's not evil, but she's kind of an aberration, because it seems that most often when we see robots appear on screen or in text, they've gone awry and they're out to seek revenge.
Do you think it's a mistrust? I just thought of this now. I'm sure it's obvious to everyone listening. It must be a mistrust of artificial intelligence, like self-realizing and rebelling against us. I suppose that's very obvious.
Yeah,
right?
I guess people must assume that they themselves are also evil, and that it's just sort of innate in humans, and therefore if a machine can ever manage to mimic a human on the level of intelligence, then they too will be innately evil.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because in terms of, like, what I mean to say is that's really interesting, because robots really are a mirror image of humans, because we create them. They mm-hmm. do what we say.
Right.
So if they do get out of control and do evil things, then, you know, it won't be anything alien to us. This right. is why, to me, aliens are so frightening. Aliens are completely terrifying. If aliens come, like, we don't know anything about them. We That's don't know right. anything about their, you know, their brain, their the way that they think, anything about their biology, their intentions, their mm-hmm. world, their history, anything. Robots, we have them figured. Yeah. We know everything about
They're
them.
They're us. And they really mm-hmm. are a representation of our fears of ourselves, mm-hmm. I think. What we think we might end up doing to ourselves.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I think we have to go and see this movie. And when we see these robots, this war, I think we have to really be just inwardly thinking about the conflict within ourselves. What do you think, Kim?
I think that's a great way to approach it. Okay. It'll help me with my fear.
I'm gonna dress up as one of I can't remember the names of them, but you know, as one of the robots.
Okay.
I'm gonna be like
a Terminator.
A Terminator, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna be a Terminator. No, but it's like,
I love that. That's the word you forgot.
No. It's no. There's like a T3000, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's
right.
certain models that I don't remember what they all are, but I'm gonna be the Arnold Schwarzenegger without his skin on, Terminator.
Excellent. Yeah. Are you gonna steal a costume from Body Works or something to pull that off?
Yes.
Excellent.
I'll have to do something. Yeah, it may have to be like a glow in the dark thing, you know, where it will only work like against a blue screen or a green screen or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to dress up as Linda Hamilton.
Okay.
I have to work out an awful lot before we go
Linda
to this
Hamilton,
movie.
Right? Like disheveled.
Yeah.
Something bleeding and a bruise.
Huh. That's really not so different than what I look like yeah. right now, is it?
Yeah, no.
Uh-oh, I guess no, I'm not actually dressing up.
It is different because you're in a bikini right now and you're drinking a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yours is red. Mine is like a black, like mismatched tankini because I couldn't get one that would like work on top and bottom. I had all the details worked out. Okay. You were not so happy with Wolfram Alpha when it came out.
No, you know, I was under the impression that Wolfram Alpha was a search engine.
As everybody was, by the way, Kim. Seems, don't beat yourself
well,
up.
Well, you know, I felt really silly about it because I tried all these searches and I thought, like, come on, Wolfram Alpha. Surely you can find the backyardigans for me.
Yes.
Like, they're common enough. I was just choosing random but popular search terms, I mm-hmm. assumed, and getting nothing. And then Liz informed me that Wolfram Alpha is not a search engine, but a computational knowledge engine.
That's
Did I get
right.
that right?
Yes,
that's what it's
yes.
called?
And that it does say that actually on the page, but however, the page actually does look very much like Google. So it's
it
very
does.
Confusing because it looks like Google. It says what it is. All the imagery you'll
I
notice.
I didn't read it.
When
I
you
was
go
a bad
back,
user.
It's very small. So the overall, it looks like Google, but it's red and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of imagery in it that does reflect thematically that it is a computational knowledge engine. So once you connect the dots there, it kind of shows through. But it just on first glance to everybody, it will just look like Google. And it's just something completely different.
I think they ought to have chosen a completely different interface because I suspect that a lot of people won't go back after they make the mistake that I made. In mm-hmm. fact, you know, had you not informed me that I was misusing the resource, I probably wouldn't have returned.
Yeah, Kim on the phone was like, Liz, this sucks. We made a big mistake with this story. and I was like, yeah, I know where you're coming from, but it's a computational knowledge engine.
Liz reads the small print and yeah. Kim just rushes straight into things.
But
she's
but
a rhinoceros and sends all the important stuff flying out the side.
It's important to know, though, that that's exactly the response that everybody will be having. And mm-hmm. so maybe what to do is just to let people know, first of all, that it is working now. Wolfram Alpha is on and you can go and
yep,
do searches.
It's online. And
so it's wolframalpha.com.
Yeah.
It is a completely different animal than anything you've ever tried before. And it is really cool. It'll probably get better as time goes on and it sort of, you know, they, I don't know.
I think its database needs to be developed and
they'll figure it out. Yeah. And like where they do their sources and stuff, they do their sourcing.
Yeah, because the one thing that I got to work gave me as a source Wikipedia, which of course, you know, Wikipedia has many merits, but it's not
definitive.
No, not at all. It's not the place you want to go to for like sound solid info.
So we want them to have better source material, which is valid. So the method might be good, but maybe they just need some better background there, which I'm sure is in the works. I'm confident about that. What's most interesting is just what it does and what it is. The first thing you should put in there is your birth date or some other date. And what you'll do, have you done this yet?
I haven't. Let's see if I should do it live.
Let's do it now. Let's do it live. It'll be like a little tech chiclet stunt.
Woohoo!
Okay, we're doing it right now. What we're doing is we're
coming back here.
I'm going to open up a new tab. This is like such exciting programming right now. www.wolframalpha. I don't know about you, Kim, but mine came up automatically because I've already searched for it, and so it was like in memory. So
yeah, mine was in memory too. I got as far as wolf, and then Wolfram Alpha.
I still love the name. I've noticed that people are calling it Alpha.
I've noticed that they've actually changed their interface too when I get here. It's not the same as it was. It does not look like Google anymore. I guess they must have gotten that message pretty quickly. I bet, you know, they tracked the input that was coming in and noticed that people were trying to use it like Google and then thought, because it's now quite prominently noted that it's a computational device, not a search engine.
Yeah, well, we should explain what that means. What that means is that instead of when you type something in, it's not going to comb through pages that exist and pull up a bunch of links to pages that contain information, or possibly, because sometimes you get a miss, but contain information about the thing that you're searching for. It's actually taking your search, whatever it is that you're searching. It might be an equation.
Your terms.
And it's actually going to then do a computation and come up with new information based on source material.
Right.
So it is not like it's not inventing stuff, but it's just got algorithms going on that
and it's collating what it assumes is the sort of information you're after related to those terms that you've entered.
Right.
Or the equation you've entered.
And as we get better at searching and we've sort of learned like, oh, okay, we can search for this, we can search for that, and things come back, but we didn't always know that.
That's right.
And so we are going to have to go through the same kind of learning curve with Wolfram Alpha. We will figure out what it's really useful for. What did you find out, Kim?
I found out that my birthday was 32 years, 6 months, and 17 days ago. That is the date of my birth was, which is also 1,698 weeks ago, or 11,886 days.
Now, which is
actually a bit distressing.
There are reasons why this might be useful. You know, like I'm sure it tells you what day of the week it was, and I'm sure it tells you like what the what phase of the moon it was.
Yeah, well, and I mean, for those of us that are not autistic savants who can quickly compute things such as days of the week on calendar years many, many, many years in the past, this is awfully useful. I mean, not that I have to think very often about the date of my birth, but I mean, for a historian, it could be very, very useful to instantly find out the day of the week connected to a date, because that can be a very important bit of information when they're looking at something.
Exactly. And the fact that I was born during a waning gibbous moon, I think will definitely come back to me as being important in the
future.
But
I mean, it's meaningful, you know, on the date of my birth, the duration of daylight hours was under 9 hours. And you can imagine that somebody giving birth in those conditions.
Well, okay. So we're kind of making a joke because really this is, but it's just an example.
Our listeners can imagine how this information could be useful. We don't have to tell them. We can just make jokes with them.
It could be useful.
Because we know they're smart.
Yeah, they're smarties.
They wouldn't be listening to us if they weren't.
That's right.
Great choice, you guys.
Hey, Kim.
Yes, Liz.
Google and Yahoo both have iPhone apps that use voice recognition and GPS.
Isn't that exciting?
It's so awesome. So what it means is you can hold up your phone to your ear and you can do a quick little Google search using the Google app. The Yahoo app works a little different. But it is really a good voice recognition. And you can so you can be in your car at a stoplight or somewhere safely parked, and you can do a quick search and it will come up and it will actually quickly be able to tell you local answers. Well, of course, if you're in the car searching, you're probably looking for like a local hairdresser or something.
Or like a tire replacement service because you've got a flat and you don't know how to change it yourself.
Exactly. So super handy. I love it. These iPhone apps, Yahoo and Google. That's exactly what we want.
That make knowledge locally relevant. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, we made a big deal. I don't think we'll be able to, again, like, do it properly the way that we did the first time. But about how making the internet local, making it locally relevant. Like, there's also this location-aware internet by Yahoo Placemaker,
mm-hmm.
which allows programmers or encoders of websites to encode the location of the website for the reader of the website, meaning that if you are in a certain city, like if you're in New York and you're looking for something, you don't want
you don't want to find out stuff about Austin, right?
Yeah. So you can find things that are local, and we just had a really good chat about how awesome it was that that the internet is more relevant to our daily lives when it's more local,
mm-hmm.
and that it's less of a just sort of
behemoth of random information,
difficult to search through, and there are some times when you want like a general answer, but I think
absolutely
certain things like a hairdresser or like a tire or a lot of things
you want the local shops. I was looking for Farmers Once Upon Markets. A Child the other day, which is a secondhand consignment children's store that mm-hmm. has chains across all of North America, but I didn't want all of North America. I wanted to find the one closest to me here.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes like I'll do a search for something specific that I know is a local thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's just such a kind of an unusual thing that although like there will be many of them across the world, there's only sort of a couple that are or one or two that are local, and the ones that have the better search, what's it called? The better search
tags.
Yes.
Categories.
Associated with the websites. They have the better search engine optimization.
Right.
They will come up, but that's not useful to me. That actually makes me angry at those websites. So that in that case, that search engine optimization is not helping.
Yes.
Because I'm getting, for example, there's a farmer's market. Well, we have a lot of farmer's markets locally here in St. Albert and Edmonton. Am I going to bleep that, our locations?
No.
Okay.
It's okay. I think we've revealed our location before.
Okay, fine. So we are local.
We're not giving out addresses.
No, we're local in St. Albert. We have a really awesome farmer's market and
excellent.
A really thriving farmer's market community.
Where you can find Liz mm-hmm. Sunday mornings.
Yeah, I do spicycocoa.ca.
Tasty.
Hot cocoa. But anyway, I was looking for this honey seller, and I was looking to sort of, anyway, I did a search and farmer's market honey, and oh my goodness, like so many different things came up, and my search was much more narrow than that,
mm-hmm.
and so it should have come up first, and it didn't. Anyway, this local internet is a really excellent solution to that.
Absolutely. I think making things more immediately relevant to people, it just can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It has to help people.
Yeah. Speaking of farmers markets, we should mention Locavore.
Yes.
Which is another iPhone app. iPhone apps, are just huge right now. But this is an iPhone app that tells you what is in, because it's GPS aware.
Yay.
So, yeah. So it knows where you are. If you let it tap into your GPS, it knows where you are. So it can tell where you are. And it will tell you what is in season, vegetables, fruits and vegetables, produce-wise, or what is coming into season really soon. And it'll also tell you where your local farmers markets are.
Isn't that brilliant, folks?
I love it.
I mean, everybody should be doing their very best to eat local anyways. Because, like hauling cabbages all across North America and, in fact, even like shipping them to Korea or from Korea is really not good for our earth. And it degrades our produce really quickly. You get better tasting produce if you get it picked ripe.
Yeah.
And you can only have ripe produce picked ripe if you get it very close to home.
Yes.
You're supporting your local economy. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. And if the iPhone is going to help us find like really excellent carrots right nearby, mm-hmm. and, you know, garden fresh tomatoes, I think that that's incredible.
It's exactly what you want in a piece of technology. Like, yeah. It's like it took so long to get to this point, and now it's like we're here. And this is why, by the way, immediate
impact on our lives and makes our lives better.
Yeah, and I need to just harken back to the whole Kindle petition, like get technology in Canada faster, you know, people sort of whole idea.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly what technology can possibly do. And nobody would have said a cell phone will connect you with your farmer's market when right. cell phones first came out.
No, indeed.
So, you know, this is why Canadians, we need to be tech aware and loving our tech.
Absolutely.
And interacting with it and demanding it.
Getting what we can get out mm-hmm. of it and not sitting back to wait and see if it flies in the States.
Yeah. And I think the whole problem really has to be at the base of it has to be that that Canadians are willing to be more patient or not to be so forthright in demanding things like this, because it's like look too much of a luxury or something. And I think that if there is like a grass, this is the whole reason why I put up a silly petition for grassroots movements, because what it means is if the people who stand to make money at it see that there are people who really want it,
they'll push harder.
They'll figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, and so that's why. Want to reach markets mm-hmm. that they know exist.
So Locavore, I love it. Local internet.
Harika. It's that's juicy. Turkish for wonderful, in case you were wondering.
Harika. Say it again.
Harika.
Have your say at techchicklist.com. Leave a comment for Liz or Kim. Send us an email or explore the forum and join a discussion on anything tech. No one has yet, by the way, Kim. If you like the show, and we know you do, remember to tell someone about us. Grab a button for your blog. I'm developing some. They're going to be awesome. Tweet about us on Twitter and tell all of your Facebook friends. And all you have to do that is just say on your what am I doing right now, you just say, I'm listening to the Tech Chicklets. They are so hot.
Do we have a Facebook presence?
Not yet. Would you like to be in charge of developing that? I will
develop us a Facebook presence this evening.
You're in charge of it.
I need you to send me some files.
Okay. I'll send you my two files. I'll send you.
Excellent.
Every little shout out keeps us going. So yeah. Come on, people. Tell at least one person. That's how we get out there. Ready for feature?
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about how to start your own blog.
Okay, now who is this for? We're giving this a shout
out. Oh, yes. This is by special request for my friend Alyssa, who sent me an email asking not exactly how to start a blog, but if we could recommend some blogging platforms and tell her a bit about which ones work which way and what she should choose. Mm-hmm.
It's a little overwhelming when you first think about it, because you go online, you do a search, and all of a sudden there's like 100 different platforms. And
yeah.
People are using lots of different things. And so you feel like, oh, I have to do... It's all of a sudden you had an idea, you were going to start a blog, and then you're like, oh, too much work.
Too much work, too much information.
Just researching. Yeah, just doing the research. So here we're going to do it for you.
Yep, we're going to talk about it, and we're also going to give you a post on our Tech Chicklets blog that links you to all kinds of great blogging information resources online.
Kim's done some wonderful research and put together some really helpful links for you.
We're not going to reinvent the wheel here on the show. We'll just give you a few highlights of what will appear in that blog post. So basically, I'm not going to spell out links for you right now.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you about some of the things that exist to help guide you online. And Liz and I will talk about some of the motivations that you might have for blogging. Yeah. And
basically, we want to tell you, if you want to start a blog, like, here's how to get started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll help you. Yeah. We'll hold your hand.
Yeah, we'll hold your hand.
Cuddle you, too.
Come for a cuddle. Come here for a cuddle. Okay. So why blog? What's the purpose of blogging?
There's so many great reasons to blog. Let's just shout out a few of them.
Well, personal reasons. Like for one thing, it's a great, like, it's an exciting new platform for you to just get on, and, you know, it's creative.
Yep.
So it's just fun to try something new. If you're a writer, then that's fun.
It's a great forum for writers.
It's a great forum for diarists, if you're going to get on and do sort of a diary. For example, as well, if you live in Turkey and your family lives elsewhere, like in St. Albert.
It's a great way to keep them updated.
And a lot of people nowadays, I think, are living far distances from family.
Yes.
And so just keeping in touch, it makes it a lot easier. You can
even those of us who don't live far apart, I mean, it's still fun to see photos and hear tales that you might not get to because everybody has busy lives, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see someone, you don't get every detail of their lives, and they may miss telling you about some really exciting, important event that happened.
And you can try to monetize your blog, but I have to say, like, we're not going to focus on ways to make your blog popular. We can maybe talk about that later, but
yeah,
we're really talking about like not about just advertising on it, but just like
just how to set it up and develop a little web presence for yourself.
But another major reason why you might want to know about blogging is if you're a business, or especially if you're a small business, because you can set up a blog for free, or with the help of somebody who can set it up for you,
like Liz,
for free. Yeah, and I can do that, but whatever. You can do it for free. Like, you can easily learn how to do it.
Yeah.
You can turn your blog page into something that looks very much like really represents your business.
Yes. And looks like just a standard website.
It can look very, very professional. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to make certain decisions as to make sure that you don't have anything on it that you don't want to have on it, such as advertising. Sometimes free courtesy hosted websites can contain some advertising on it that you might not want on for your business purposes,
right?
But you just have to sort of know what you're looking for and where to go. And so you can easily set up a blog for your business that has and you can sort of conceal the blog a little bit so that the blog isn't the first landing page, but the landing page can be just a static page where you sort of just have an about page about your business, and you can set up several other pages depending on the blog platform that you're using. So for businesses, pleasure, personal, creative, you know, there's lots of different reasons for blogging.
Yeah.
Differences between self-hosted and what's the other, free hosting?
Do you want to? Liz is very good at explaining this.
Oh, it's very easy. It's if you have a website, in order to put a website onto the internet, which is, I guess, kind of a scary thought for people before they kind of figure out how it's done. It seems a little bit like magic, but your website is just comprised of files. And it's just a whole bunch of instructions for how certain information is represented on your website.
Right.
So that when somebody comes to your location online, that your page will look a certain way. And it's purely because of these files and what these files look like.
So you need somewhere to put those files.
Exactly. And so if you are self-hosted, what it means is that you have a box somewhere that's like a computer box, except it's on all the time. So it's a server. So, you know, they're different. They're different sort of creatures, but they're just like a computer that contain all of those files. And you would generally would pay somebody to do that.
Right.
And hey, if there's somebody out there who is a host, who's not the host that I hate, we would be happy to have you on for like a small fee. We would love to have you advertising and supporting our
show. Absolutely.
If you're a web hoster, because we're all about just spreading the word. If you're a good host.
Like, good hosts only. Bad hosts need not apply.
Yeah. However, that costs a little bit of money. For example, something like $100 a year.
That's what Liz and I pay for our self-hosted blogs.
And that's just because we're WordPress.org. And so that's just the kind of hosting that we needed. That's how much it costs. So to us, that's a very small amount just to be able to have our own way with our...
But you can have completely free hosting if you're willing to go... a different route and use free blogging platforms.
And all that means is that usually that other blogging platform will be making money in some way off the fact that people are using their blogging platform.
Right.
And so that's a great option, because a lot of people want to be doing blogging and they don't really want to you know, be handling their files. And so
it is more time consuming to have a self-hosted blog.
Mm-hmm. We certainly find it to be fun, but a lot of people wouldn't.
Right. And so if you want something that's really quick and easy, the free hosting might be the way you want to go.
And the first thing that we tried, both of us tried, was Blogger.
That's right.
Blogger.com. And it's currently, it is a Google product.
Right.
It's been purchased by Google. And it's super simple.
Very simple. Really user-friendly. We'll be posting some links to tutorials that can help you through it if you're feeling a bit hesitant or nervous. But it really is very, very straightforward and easy to use.
There are a lot of different templates. Well, there's not a huge, vast amount, but there's enough to get enough of your creativity going, you know, to start out with. You can have a black blog or like a predominantly white blog or some different patterns.
And they're quite easy to personalize with graphics as well that you can shift into your templates.
Especially your header.
Yeah.
Like that's the main thing that I would say if you're going to start a blog and you don't want to change very much, but you just want to make the overall thing look like a certain thing. If you can just change your header, then you've got it personalized. It can look really cool.
Absolutely.
You can throw just a photo up, you know, just do a little bit of basic graphics, you know, photo with a little title in there. You're good to go.
And that's one of the things you need to think about when you're going to start up a blog. You need to think of what you're going to call it. A title is an important thing to know before you start putting everything together.
Yeah. Try to get a title that will last a little bit for you, I think.
Because I went the wrong way down that road and my blog, poor little thing, it's been renamed a number of times. It's not going to happen again, but it was renamed repeatedly because, as I said before, I'm the rhinoceros and I just go barreling into things and I don't think about them. And I try to change that about myself, but my nature seems to be like dive and think about what's in the water later. I'm surprised an alligator hasn't gotten me yet.
So one thing is to just get a name that you think will somehow cover more than what you're initially like, because when you start a blog you don't know exactly, like it's like this technology thing, you don't know exactly what the potential is going to be,
right?
And so you didn't realize what the potential was going to be.
I didn't.
Yeah. And so you just have to kind of think big. Just realize it's going to be bigger. It's going to be huge. Your blog is going to be huge. It's going to, you know, just imagine that it will be, even though most blogs aren't. And just like, we know they won't be.
They won't. But they're fun. It doesn't matter if you don't take over the world.
Let your title kind of be, you know, be a little bit more encompassing so that your content can grow. Give yourself a little bit of potential for growth. Yeah. And you also need to think about categories and tags because do we want to go too much into this?
Well, no, I think organizational concerns are important. If you can sort out what sort of things you think you'll probably be talking about, you can always add in more later, but it lets your readers or potential readers know upfront what sort of things they might expect to see.
Yeah.
On your blog, right?
Yeah. And it's good for you as well. So that if you feel like you're stumped, maybe you can go back to your list of like sort of generate a list of what your possible categories might be in the beginning. And like a list of what your possible tags might be in the beginning. And that way, if you're looking for more things to talk about, you know, you've got it there as a resource.
Right.
Yeah. And also it helps to unify the theme of everything that you're talking about so that you're not sort of, you know, jumping all over the place. If you've kind of decided that you're going to limit yourself to a certain topic and that's what your readers are expecting.
Right.
So that it helps you to develop a readership that way too, because that's people will come back. They sort of know you've got a good variety, but you're not totally off the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that in mind, a blog is public. Some people do set up private blogs, which of course you can do, but most of us, or most of you that we're speaking to, I'm assuming, are going for the public blog. Not everyone in the world is going to read your blog, but some people are, and you'll want to have a way to interact with them. That's the whole reason you would make it public.
Yeah.
So you need to think about what sort of comment structure you want your blog to have.
I've got a tip for people starting out, and that is that almost every blogger that I've ever had any conversation with, either live or online, has said that they've had a problem with talking about personal, like, family stuff online.
Right.
And I know it sounds like such an easy thing, like, oh, I know what I'm doing, but everybody's had this problem where you start talking about something and just, like, I guess, know your boundaries.
Yes. Know if you have, like, an Aunt Kathy who, I don't have an Aunt Kathy, but an Aunt Kathy who's going to take extreme offense to your discussing her petunias, then don't discuss her petunias mm-hmm. unless you're willing to deal yeah. with the fallout.
Because she will read it, and if she doesn't read it, like, her boss will read it and will email it to her.
Right.
And it's out there, and it's not going away. And yeah. also, like,
don't... So if you really need to out Aunt Kathy's petunias, mm-hmm. then go for it. But just be yeah. aware. Just be aware.
Yeah.
It is public.
It's public in the sense that they're going to call you. This is the thing. Like, if you offend people that you don't know, that's one thing. You might get sort of, like, flame mail and stuff, like hate right. mail. But if you offend your family...
There's not much of that, beginners. Don't be afraid.
No, don't worry. It's never happened to me.
It happened to me once.
Yeah.
But it was minor and it went away. It. And yeah.
You got over it. But when you offend your family... They phone you.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Or they phone each other and don't tell you.
Stuff about kids, like if you're talking about like how your parenting style, they will call you and they will like give you instructions.
Yeah.
And so just be aware that those things are going to happen and just
know your boundaries. If you're okay with it, mm-hmm. you're okay with it. But just
yeah.
know.
Yeah. So let's talk about our favorite free hosted.
Right. Well, I think we like the WordPress.com and Blogger.com hosts the best, don't
yeah.
we, Liz?
Yeah.
And we'll give an honorable mention to TypePad. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of experience with TypePad. I don't find it quite as user-friendly.
Exactly.
Which is why I haven't really bothered looking into it further.
Yeah, exactly my response. I sort of looked into a little bit and I decided it wasn't as good as WordPress.
Yeah.
WordPress does have some shortfalls to it, but for the beginner and for us, and I think even as you get to be a more popular blogger, it really works fine.
It's versatile mm-hmm. and it allows you to do a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they do, Blogger and so WordPress.
WordPress.com, and the thing that I love about WordPress is the just being able to use different themes and really have a lot of flexibility. And it's open source.
Yes, so and I love open source. I'm all for the little people working together to build a big thing.
Holding hands and yep. singing Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, ugh, that's like hippies. I hate hippies.
And forming wonderful blogging platforms.
That was really bad. After encouraging earlier in the show everyone to be nice and kind, I come out with a scathing comment like that. I'm a bad person.
No, they are singing Kumbaya and we love it. And it comes out with great, great blogging platforms such yep. as WordPress.com. It's Absolutely. A wonderful community.
Yeah.
Open, what's it called again?
Open source.
Open source programming results in great communities of really, really helpful people and a lot of different variety of different
yeah,
functionality.
Yeah, well, and it's the users who are putting it together, so they mm-hmm. want it to work. And yeah. I think that works so much better than yeah. a commercial enterprise trying to produce yeah. something because while they might be users, they're mm-hmm. not in it all the time.
You get a lot more out of it with yeah. WordPress.org than yes. you do with WordPress.com, but WordPress.com is the free one and it's fine. It's great.
Yeah, it's fine.
We like
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
TypePad is all right. TextPattern is out there, just to be aware that it's out there. And MovableType.org is mm-hmm. also really good.
Yep. And we'll give you some links to tutorials that can help you through set up with those different platforms mm-hmm. on techchicklets.com.
Techchicklets.com. Stop by, have a drink.
Or two.
Spend some time with us. We love you. Are you wondering how you can support Canada's hottest tech podcasting team? Check out Box.net, the simple way to collaborate online. Oh, and do tell somebody about us. Okay, do you want to listen to some iPhone Ocarina?
Well, you know, Liz, because we've done this segment before and I've already heard iPhone Ocarina, I think I might have to dart off while you play iPhone ocarina for our faithful listeners because I have a baby who has to go to bed.
Well, I will say it's a lullaby and it is the nighttime right now and we aren't actually in bikinis.
We're not.
But it is nighttime. It
was all a big hoax. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to let you down.
Yeah, but it's okay for you to still imagine that we are in bikinis because it's probably daytime and sunny over where you are listening to us in California.
And I bet that we look a lot hotter in bikinis in their imaginations than we do in real life.
That's exactly what I was going for, Kim.
Yes.
Just a little. Just
we are pinup girls.
Spice it up a little bit there. So it is a lullaby. And it's very gentling.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett and I talk about what the ocarina is, and we can talk about it later in our next show.
It's a beautiful iPhone app that allows cousin Garrett to play an instrument, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful.
Yeah,
you'll enjoy it.
I am going to encourage people to... I'm very interested to hear other people's iPhone ocarina songs. And if people would like to contribute their iPhone ocarina tunes to the show, if they are really, really good, if they soothe us, if they move us, we will play them on the show because that's what we're all about.
Yeah,
community,
so contact us.
Like-minded, techie people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we will play your music.
It's going to rock.
It is.
Okay, but this one will just like...
This one will soothe.
In a soothing way.
It's a rock... gentle.
Yeah. We're gonna hold you guys.
Uterine sort of.
Yeah.
Comfort
not,
thing.
Not uterine.
That kind
just
of
a little
rock.
More distance.
Yeah. Okay. Post uterine.
Just out here. And we're just gonna rock you gently.
Off to sleep.
Off to sleep. Yeah. iPhone ocarina with Garrett. Hi, Garrett.
Hi.
I hear that you have brought with you your iPhone, which has on it an ocarina, and that you are going to play. For us, some tunes on your ocarina. Almost no one will understand what I have just said, so why don't you explain what is an ocarina, assuming that everyone already understands what an iPhone is.
Okay, that saves me some time. An ocarina is pretty much an instrument, a basic instrument with four holes, and traditionally it's a wind instrument, and the iPhone allows you to play it just like it would be played as if it was ceramic or made of wood, but instead the holes are just on the screen and you hold it up to your mouth and you play your little song.
So explain to the people, because I think it's a little confusing. You're saying that, do you blow into the iPhone?
Yeah, you blow into, there's a microphone for when you talk on your iPhone and that can take in sound so you can play the instrument.
So you blow into the microphone, and it's the level of the hissing sound that's coming from the air that you're blowing out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the science, but I'm assuming it takes...
It translates that.
Translate, yeah.
Into meaning like the level... So you can change the volume by blowing more softly, and then if you blow harder, then it's louder, the volume is louder?
Yeah, it's very much like a wind instrument in that sense.
Well, that sounds really neat. What are you going to play for us first?
Well, I have a few songs lined up that may be played today or on another segment, but today I'll be playing Brahms' Lullaby.
Thanks, Garrett.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye, everyone.